The Word of Truth is sponsored in part by Paul Rents. Visit paulrents.com for party and equipment rentals.
Welcome to the Word of Truth, a ministry of Pastor Lars Larson and the First Baptist Church of Leominster, Massachusetts. It is our desire that our Lord use this broadcast to instruct, encourage, and strengthen both Christians and local churches in the New England region. Pastor Lars is always available to assist you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. May today's message from our pastor be blessed by our Lord to instruct and encourage you through the Holy Scriptures, the Word of Truth.
Greetings, and thank you for listening to our program. From Romans 3:21 to the last verse of Romans chapter 4, which is Romans 4:25, the Apostle Paul set forth the glorious truth of God justifying sinners through faith alone. In contrast to all other religions of the world that teach salvation is attained through one's own efforts, through one's own good works, biblical Christianity teaches that salvation is wholly by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And that this way of salvation is the only way in which God can receive glory alone for the salvation of sinners. This is what the Bible teaches. This is what historic Protestantism teaches. It is not what Roman Catholicism teaches, however. And in fact, it was at this point where the very clear and unbreachable break occurred between Rome and the Protestant reformers. In order to counter the teaching of the Protestant reformers, the Pope convened a Roman Catholic Synod, the Synod of Dort, that concluded in the 1560s. And it set forth a number of conclusions, statements of canon law. In other words, statements that Rome regarded as true and essential statements that are binding upon all Roman Catholics to believe. And many of these canons, these rules, were direct contradictions to what the reformers were teaching. And they are statements of heresy, in my opinion. And I recited several of these last time, and we'll recite several more today after we first pray. Our Father, we thank you for the peace that you have promised and have granted to those who believe wholly upon Jesus Christ for salvation. We affirm the truth stated by the Apostle. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace of peace, in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory that you have promised us. Father, we know that this speaks of the objective peace that Jesus Christ obtained on our behalf, we who believe on him. We know, Father, that this peace knows of no degrees or diminishment, that each of us who truly believe the gospel were justified instantaneously, completely, everlastingly, that it was a single, one-time, forever act of your free grace in which you declared each of us guilty sinners to be pardoned of sin and regarded thereafter as righteous by you. One moment we were condemned by you, and the next moment we were exonerated. We went down on our knees as guilty sinners, but we stood up as saints. Father, we understand that this justification is the beginning, a process of salvation that will be culminated fully and finally at the resurrection when we'll be delivered from these bodies of death, and we long for that day to come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. But even while you sanctify us, Father, through this life, as we anticipate our full and final salvation that shall be received at the last time, may you help us to always exult in our present pardon, our present standing in righteousness before you, which is through Jesus Christ alone. For we pray these things, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Council of Trent was the response and reaction of the Roman Catholic Church against the Protestant Reformation. It played a major part in the Counter-Reformation that Rome initiated about a generation after the initial hanging of those 95 theses of Luther on that church door in Wittenberg. The Council of Trent concluded, stating its findings, that according to Roman Catholic teaching, is binding upon all Catholics to believe and to espouse. These statements are regarded as canonical by Rome. In other words, these canons or laws stated through the work of this council are regarded by Roman Catholics as binding as Holy Scripture. They are in Rome's eyes inspired by God and authoritative instruction for God's people. But when we examine the contents of many of these canons, these laws that were concluded from Trent, we see they refute the Protestant teaching regarding justification through faith alone. And so we would argue they're in conflict with the clear and plain teaching of Romans 3 and 4, which we are studying presently. So here are several more canons from Trent. Canon number 23. This is the statement of Rome. If anyone says that a man once justified can sin no more, nor lose grace, and that therefore he that falls and sins was never truly justified, or on the other hand, that he is able during his whole life to avoid all sins, even those that are venial, except by a special privilege from God, as the Church holds in regard to the Blessed Virgin, let him be anathema. Now, there's a couple statements here in this canon with which we would agree, with which Scripture concurs, that indeed we do not teach that a man once justified ceases to sin. However, they add here that anyone who teaches that a justified person cannot lose grace, in other words, that a justified person can never lose his salvation, that person is anathema, according to Rome. In other words, if you believe that a person who is once truly saved can not lose his salvation, Rome regards you as cursed of God. You do not have salvation. Well, what are some verses that counter this teaching? John 3:36, he that believes on the Son has everlasting life, and he that believes not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. John 6:40, and this is the will of him that sent me, that every one which sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, there's no conditions there of whether or not the person continues in faith. Now, we believe that true Christians will continue in faith and must continue in faith, but there's no idea that a person who has true saving faith, justifying faith, can lose his salvation. John 10:28, Jesus taught his disciples, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And that is counter to the teaching of Trent. We read in 1 John 5:13, where John wrote, these things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, the Bible teaches the eternal security of the true believer. And by the way, it is the teaching of Scripture, and it is the teaching of Protestants, that if a man or woman claims to be justified by God's grace alone through faith alone, and maybe continues in that belief for some period of time, but then abandons Jesus Christ and forsakes his or her faith in Jesus Christ, we would argue that that person never was justified. And the Scriptures clearly teach that as well. Because the true Christian is one who perseveres in faith. God's power sees to it. God keeps his own through his power, through faith, unto the full and final salvation that will be granted to him in the day of Christ. Now, here is canon number 24. If anyone says that the justice received is not preserved and also increased before God through good works, but that the said works are merely the fruits and signs of justification obtained, but not a cause of the increase thereof, let him be anathema. Now, this canon that was the conclusion of the Council of Trent, again, is the official teaching of Roman Catholicism. And it basically is a declaration that faith plus works equals justification. And that's really at the heart of the difference. That's the dividing point between Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. Whereas the Bible teaches, Protestants argue, that it's through faith alone that people are justified. Roman Catholicism teaches that it's through faith plus works that one is justified. You see, Rome confuses the biblical teaching of justification with the biblical teaching of sanctification. The Bible teaches, and Protestants teach, that a person is justified initially at the time of faith in the gospel, and then sanctification is that process by which God changes the justified person into a person more like Jesus Christ. It's progressive through life, where God is working in that person to make him more obedient to the Word of God, conforming him to his Savior, Jesus Christ. But justification is at the beginning, and really it's that state that results in that process of sanctification occurring in his life. Rome, however, teaches that justification is not before sanctification, but rather the result of sanctification, at the end of sanctification. And so they argue that a person is not justified actually in this life, or very few are. And when a person dies, a Catholic dies, well, he hasn't arrived yet because he's not as holy as God is holy, so he has to go through a period of purgatory or purging of his sins. And he comes out on the other end after 10 or 20,000 years, and finally then he is fully sanctified, and then he becomes justified. And this canon number 24 from Trent teaches this. Again, it states, if anyone says that the justice received is not preserved, talking about the state of justification, is not preserved and also increased before God through good works, but that the said works are merely the fruits and signs of justification, and that's exactly what the Bible teaches and Protestants teach, but that the said works are merely the fruits and signs of justification obtained, but not a cause and increase thereof, let him be anathema. Rome declares that I am cursed, that I do not have salvation. Rome teaches a different gospel than what Protestants teach, than what the Bible teaches. Well, let's listen to a few verses that refute this canon law from Trent. Paul wrote in Galatians 3, 1 through 3, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, you're now made perfect by the flesh. Well, yes, Rome is so foolish. Yes, the Council of Trent is so foolish as to say that. Rome is guilty of the Galatian heresy, saying that faith plus works results in justification before God. And then Paul argued in Galatians 5, 1 through 3, Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say to you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that circumcised, he is a debtor to do the whole law. You see, there were some false teachers that would follow Paul after he would start churches. And where he was teaching the gospel, that people are justified by God's grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone, these certain Judaizers came along and said, oh yes, you must believe on Christ in order to be saved, but you also must couple faith with good works, the works of the law, and therefore you must be circumcised, you Gentiles, and keep the law of God in order to be justified by God. And that's essentially the same teaching as Rome. Rome is guilty of the Galatian heresy. Here's Canon 30 from the Council of Trent. If anyone saith that after the grace of justification has been received, to every penitent sinner the guilt is remitted, and the debt of eternal punishment is blotted out in such wise that there remains not any debt of temporal punishment to be discharged either in this world or in the next in purgatory, before the entrance to the kingdom of heaven can be opened to him, let him be anathema. Again, therefore, official Roman Catholic teaching says that the Protestant belief, and we would argue the clear teaching of Romans 3 and 4, is heresy. You cannot be saved if you believe what we are espousing. And so here it says, if anyone says that after the grace of justification has been received, that somehow there is not more that needs to be done with regard to payment for sin. You see, that's a setting aside of the sufficiency of Jesus Christ. When he died on the cross, he declared, it is finished. He accomplished the redemption of his people. Again, we read in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Rome basically says, no, you don't. Therefore, being justified by faith, you better do good works, so one day you might have peace with God through Jesus Christ. Colossians 2:13 and 14. And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, as he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And what that's declaring is that there is no law that can condemn the true Christian, because Christ atoned for those sins. Christ paid the punishment. And therefore, even the law of God itself cannot condemn the sinner. He's exonerated through faith in Jesus Christ. Here is Canon 33 from Trent. And this is a summary canon. It basically says that everything that's declared in Trent officially is binding upon all people to believe. And if you fail or refuse to do so, then damnation is your fate. Canon 33. If anyone saith that by the Catholic doctrine touching justification, by this holy synod set forth in this present decree, that the glory of God or the merits of our Lord Jesus Christ are in any way derogated from, and not rather that the truth of our faith and the glory and fine of God and Jesus Christ are rendered more illustrious, let him be anathema. And so that canon basically condemns me for everything I've been saying these last few minutes, because we are stating that these canons of Dort do exactly that. They do derogate. That is, they denounce and they're in conflict with biblical teaching regarding justification. And so it declares that I'm cursed of God because of the teaching here of Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 4. And so please understand, if you're a true Christian, believing in Christ alone as your hope, as your Savior, not in any works, not in Mary, not in the saints, not in the things you do, but in Jesus Christ and his life and his death alone, and you're in a Roman Catholic church, you better get out of there. You're aligning yourself with people that teach heresy. And don't think that you're going to influence them for good. No, the best influence that you can have is to get out and declare the truth as you're leaving, that people are justified fully and wholly by Jesus Christ alone, through God's grace alone, through faith alone, apart from any works that we might perform. Now, let's return to our study of Romans 3 and 4. Now, we've been away from here for a little bit, and so I'll read once again Romans 3, 21 through 31. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No, but by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles also? Yes, of Gentiles also, since God is one who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then overthrow the law by this faith? By no means. On the contrary, we uphold the law. Now that's Romans 3:21 through 31. Paul wrote of the righteousness of God having been manifest. In other words, made known, declared, revealed. Now, God had revealed his righteousness throughout history in various ways. He had purposed to make known his righteousness throughout history. And in the past, before the coming of Jesus Christ, God's righteousness was manifest to the world through his law, principally. God did so in at least two ways. First, the law revealed what God's righteousness entailed. His commandments manifested that quality of being and living in conformity to God's holiness. God's law is an expression of his holy nature. But secondly, God's righteousness was also manifested through his law in his just punishment of lawbreakers. And so God shows himself as righteous or just in his punishment. And even in the damnation of sinners, God shows forth his righteousness. Jonathan Edwards, the 18th century Puritan pastor in Northampton, Massachusetts, once preached a sermon entitled rather forthrightly, "The Justice of God in the Damnation of Sinners." And the sermon was based on the text of Romans 3:19, which we read. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. Here are some of Edwards' comments in this sermon. The things that the law says are sufficient to stop the mouths of all mankind in two respects. One, to stop them from boasting of their righteousness, as the Jews were wont to do, as the apostle observes in the 23rd verse of the preceding chapter. That would have been Romans 2. That the apostle has respect to stopping their mouths, and this respect appears by the 27th verse of the context. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. The law stops our mouths from making any plea for life or the favor of God or any positive good from our own righteousness. Too bad the people of Trent didn't hear that word. And then the second way in which the law is sufficient to stop the mouths of all mankind, to stop them from making any excuse for ourselves or objection against the execution of the sentence of the law or the infliction of the punishment that it threatens. That it is intended appears by the words immediately following, that all the world may become guilty before God. That is, that they may appear to be guilty and stand convicted before God and justly liable to the condemnation of God's law as guilty of death according to the Jewish way of speaking. And thus the apostle proves that no flesh can be justified in God's sight by the deeds of the law, as he draws the conclusion in the following verse, and so prepares the way for establishing the great doctrine of justification by faith alone, which he proceeds to do in the following part of the chapter and the epistle. And so we see Edwards advocating the righteousness of God was seen in the past, prior to the coming of Jesus Christ, in the manifestation of his wrath upon sinners for having transgressed his law. But God will also display his righteousness in the future. Paul had mentioned this in Romans chapter 2, verse 5 and following. But because of your hard and impenitent heart, you're storing up wrath for yourself on the day of wrath when God's righteous judgment will be revealed. He will render to each one according to his works. To those by patience and well-doing seek for glory, honor, and immortality, he will give eternal life. But those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, there will be wrath and fury. And so God has revealed his righteousness in the past through his law, and God will reveal his righteousness in the future on the great day of judgment of all mankind. That revelation of God's righteousness will be a manifestation of his judgment based upon his law. But here Paul is declaring in Romans 3 that God at the present time is revealing the righteousness of God being manifested apart from the law. And we'll have to talk about this gift of righteousness through faith alone more fully next time. Until then, may the grace of God be abundantly granted to you.
We trust that God has blessed you from listening to Dr. Lars Larson. Today's program, as well as previously recorded messages, are available through our website. We invite you to visit thewordoftruth.net. The First Baptist Church of Leominster and concerned friends have sponsored this broadcast of The Word of Truth. If we may assist you by directing you to a sound, reformed church near you, please contact us. If Pastor Larson can assist you further or answer a question that you may have about today's subject, he would be pleased to speak with you. You may reach him at 978-660-8869. Until our next time together, may our God bless you richly through our Lord Jesus Christ.
Today's The Word of Truth program was sponsored in part by Paul Rents. Visit PaulRents.com for party and equipment rentals.